And we're back. This is Morning Cannolis on this Saturday morning, July 16th. We're talking about voting rights in America, and specifically the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Right before the break, we were chatting with Catherine from the Fond du Lac area, who called in to ask, why are we doing this? Why is it that there are limitations now being posed upon voting? Shouldn't there be a movement toward more inclusivity as opposed to exclusivity? Why is this happening? And specifically, remember, recall that Catherine asked with respect to this Wisconsin decision coming out of the Wisconsin Supreme Court that found that ballot drop boxes are illegal and so can no longer use those as a way of voting, requiring perhaps other methods of going in on voting day, which certainly is still available, but significantly limiting the access, if you will, of people, especially who may have certain abilities or disabilities and do not have access on a regular basis to go into a voting place, limiting the capacity of us and going in that exclusion as opposed to inclusion aspect that Catherine just talked about. And she asked him specifically, what prompted this? Is there some problem out there? And the answer is fairly clear, and the answer is not a whole lot. It's clear, as we have talked before, I think most people in America understand, even if they don't embrace this, that there really is not a lot, if any, voting fraud of any significant nature in America. We do not have a record in the state of Wisconsin of huge amounts, any amounts of voting fraud based upon ballot drop box use. We don't have a record at all, candidly, with the exception of the one-off strange individual prosecutions that happen here and there. Quite literally, you can count them on one hand in our state and other places around the nation. We simply don't have voter fraud in America. And so this notion that, again, seems to permeate a lot of our discussion, even investigations that continue right here, the Gableman investigation in the Wisconsin, simply premised upon an inaccurate and misleading factual predicate. We don't have that. We don't have a problem with using ballot drop boxes to be inclusive, as Catherine said. But nonetheless, the Wisconsin Supreme Court and Justice Rebecca Bradley finding that the language of the statute that is guiding all of this, a very narrow and very, I'd offer, hyper-technical reading of it, does not envision that ballot drop boxes be used. And so for that reason, embracing this language to say, nope, nothing in that contemplates ballot box use. And for that reason, although we're not addressing any problem, there's no issue with related to voter fraud or anything compromising our elections. Nonetheless, we're going to prohibit you from doing this, rolling back this mechanism. And so it is, as I often say, a source of head scratching, of lack of predicate for doing the very things that the court is doing. And certainly contrary to what Catherine appropriately described as the movement toward inclusivity as opposed to exclusivity. Getting back to that very same issue, we have this case, again, 9 years ago, almost to this time, June 25th of 2013, in which for the first time in our history, the Supreme Court, at the pen of Chief Justice John Roberts, says that the Voting Rights Act that enables the Department of Justice to identify those jurisdictions that have had a history of engaging in voter fraud, they've got to get pre-clearance prior approval. That's unconstitutional. Been working under it for decades, finding now that we are living in this time when all of those problems of the 1960s, if not completely gone, nonetheless have been dissipated enough that the formula to identify those jurisdictions is no longer accurate. We'll get back to that in just a moment or so. And importantly, we've got dissents by Justice Breyer, who just recently retired, as we know, from the Supreme Court, Justice Sotomayor and Justice Kagan, and written by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And she says this in response to the majority opinion in Shelby County. She says, the Congress at the time and to this day has sufficient evidence before it to determine that this coverage formula to identify those jurisdictions that have these problems, that coverage formula remains responsive to current needs. In other words, responding to the Chief Justice's statement that, well, we no longer have these various serious problems. And here's the language that I think is so compelling and is often quoted from Ruth Bader Ginsburg's dissent in Shelby County. She says this, while discrimination has decreased in covered jurisdictions, likely attributable to the act itself. In other words, it's the very act that you're now finding unconstitutional that produced the good results that you now say justifies the rescission of a portion of the act. Follow all that? While discrimination has decreased in covered jurisdictions, she says this, throwing out preclearance when it has worked and is continuing to work to stop discriminatory changes is like this. It's like throwing away your umbrella in a rainstorm because you are no longer getting wet. Throwing away your umbrella in a rainstorm because you're no longer getting wet. That's Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Again, a fairly virulent dissent, finding that this major enforcement provision of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 that ensured the franchise extended to many people in America is enforced by the Department of Justice, no longer accessible, a huge change in American law. And another one that's followed a year ago, July 1 of 2022, the second major Supreme Court case we're chatting about in the second hour this morning, a case called Mark Brnovich. He's the Attorney General of the state of Arizona versus Democratic National Committee. The case is Brnovich versus DNC. Where does it come from? Well, the state of Arizona had passed two laws changing statewide voting practices, and they had done that absent this preclearance obligation, which again ruled unconstitutional by the United States Supreme Court in Shelby. So they go ahead and they do two things. One is they make it a crime in Arizona for virtually anyone to collect an early ballot from another voter for delivery to a polling or a counting place. In other words, collection by another voter of an early ballot, an absentee ballot, providing that, sending that, bringing that into a place to be collected, to be accounted for. That is a criminal act in the state of Arizona, a practice that's done throughout many states, including right here in Wisconsin. The Arizona prohibits that because they maintain that that, again, is a basis for fraud. No indication in response to what I suspect would be Catherine's question about this, no indication you've got fraud based upon that, but nonetheless, Arizona says we're going to limit, we're going to restrict that capacity. And second, there's a second part of the law that Arizona also invalidates. Any ballot submitted by a voter who erroneously votes in a precinct other than that assigned to her or to him. In other words, you go to the wrong place, the wrong precinct. If you vote there, rather than having your vote being told to go someplace else, having your vote counted, that vote is also invalidated. And those two procedures, those two laws, are upheld by the United States Supreme Court in this Brnovich versus DNC committee case of July 1 of 2021. Right after the break, we're going to chat more about what Brnovich says, what it does, a further restriction of Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act accomplished by the United States Supreme Court just in the past year or so. And then we're going to talk about the remedies to this in the United States Congress. Come back, included in our discussion of voting rights here in America in the Shaw, WAUK Radio, 540 AM, 101 FM. Love was such an easy